This episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by our friends at Compassion International. They have been wonderful partners with us here at Sports Spectrum for the past, gosh, 3 or 4 years now. And the work that they do, my gosh, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name, that's all you have to say. And you know the importance of the work that Compassion International brings. And when you go to compassion.com/sportspectrum, that's the website to go. Compassion.com/sportspectrum, they are giving you an opportunity to sponsor a child today. You can go and look, and there's a list of children there, little kids from Kenya that are 3 or 4 years old. We're also looking at 6 to 7 year old kids from Guatemala, and then you have some that are teenagers like Daniela from Peru, and you can see all of the children that are just waiting to be released from poverty. Some of these kids have been waiting for more than 2 years. Indonesia, Sri Lanka, Bolivia. I mean, we're talking about places all across the world that you can go and help release a kid from poverty. And your tax-deductible contribution of just $38 a month connects a child living in poverty with a loving, church-driven child sponsorship program. The support includes medical checkups, nutritious food, educational assistance, and most importantly, each sponsored child will hear about Jesus Christ and be encouraged to develop a lifelong relationship with God. You can't beat this if you're looking for an opportunity to serve, to give back, and to make a difference, a huge difference in a child's life. Check out compassion.com/sportspectrum right now. Compassion.com/sportspectrum and sponsor a child today.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
And hi, everybody. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. It is wonderful having you join us here on the program. Today, we have a fantastic conversation with David Pollack from ESPN, their college football analyst. You see him on College Game Day. He is our guest today, and it's just a great conversation. Can't wait for you to hear that. First, just a couple ways that you can get in touch with us and stay in tune with all that we have going on here at Sports Spectrum. First, our website, sportspectrum.com. That's the best place to go each and every day for content, devotionals, articles, podcasts, interviews, stories, testimonials, you name it. It's all free. It's wonderful content to share. It's great resources there for you in your journey. Check it out for free at sportspectrum.com. And if you have a guest idea, if you'd like to reach us directly, maybe you have a show topic, maybe you know someone that you think would make sense for us to talk to here at Sports Spectrum, you can email me, jason@sportspectrum.com. jason@sportspectrum.com. Now, I mentioned David Pollack. He is our guest today on Sports Spectrum, and my colleague Jade McCarthy just has a great conversation with David, talking about a ton of different topics, mostly faith-related, which is really what I enjoyed most about this conversation, because you won't find this type of interview anywhere else. You certainly won't find it on any kind of secular conversation that David Pollack and Jade McCarthy might have. But with us, we like to cultivate those conversations into faith, be open about faith, be transparent and vulnerable and opportunistic to talk about Jesus and the meaning of faith in our lives. And that's what David Pollack does today. You know, back in the day, David was a pretty good college football player at Georgia, a first-round selection by the Cincinnati Bengals. He talks about suffering that career-ending neck injury in September of 2006. Here's something pretty cool, though. David was elected to the College Football Hall of Fame back in 2020. He only played a couple years in the NFL, but he calls that the best day of his life, and God opened up an opportunity, a new journey, a new appreciation for the blessings that God has given him. And now I think he's entering year 11 from our standards. He talked about how it's been a decade that he's been on College Game Day at ESPN. And you can just tell from David that he is full of gratitude. You're going to love this conversation with David Pollack from ESPN and our colleague, former ESPN Sports Center anchor, Jade McCarthy, right now on Sports Spectrum.
Well, such a privilege and a pleasure to be joined by ESPN's David Pollack here. And we're getting close to college football season, so we'll get into that a little bit, David. But I want to start with the faith side of things, because it's something that you are open about and you do share about on social media. And I just wonder, why is that something that's important to you?
It's been the most important thing in my life since I was a senior in high school. And I definitely want to share with people my faith. And I get to speak at a lot of churches, which are awesome. It's because it's the most important thing in my life. And I always will. And actually love to share it on social media, because you get a bunch of questions and you get a bunch of, I had a buddy text me last night, literally from one of my posts, and was like, "Hey man, I want to grow in my faith. How do I do that?" And I'm like, that's exactly why I share my faith. So hopefully I can impact somebody.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What are some of the questions that you've gotten along the way, like whether on social or the ways in which you've been able to encourage people because of what people have asked you, David?
Well, I think everybody's different, right? And everybody's journey is different. You can't, you know, just like with your faith, or just like any job, you got to meet people where they're at. And yeah. So you get a bunch of different questions. But I think a lot of people, you know, my story with my neck usually resonates with people. And, you know, I was chasing a dream and I caught it. And it's the dream I wanted. I wanted to play in the NFL and I wanted to do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, 2 years into it, boom, it's gone. So how did you keep your faith? How did you stay strong? So I get a lot of that. But I get a lot of how do you get started? You know, I coach high school football now. This is my first year doing it and it's flipping fantastic. You know, I was talking to a kid today. And he's got a cross on his arm and he was dropping F-bombs like crazy. And I just asked him, I said, "What is that cross for?" And he said, "It's for my faith." I was like, "Well, you know, tell me about your faith." Like he was saying, you know, "This is for my grandfather or grandmother." And he was telling me a little more about it. And I said, "Well, why do you talk like that then? You know, why are those the words that you choose to use?" You know, I was like, that doesn't make me think you have, you know, strong faith. And I'm not saying I don't curse, but I'm just saying if you're using curse words all the time and that's how you describe and that's your adjectives. I was like, why don't we find ways to use different words? I think it's different walks, different ages. I hope that God uses me. Listen, I'm not perfect by any stretch.
And no, none of us are.
I mess up and I fall short and I have things that I struggle with. And so if I can share my struggles, and I mean, just as simple as one of my best friends who's a high school football coach was dealing with anxiety. And I talked to him about it, you know, a couple months ago in my weight room. And I was like, "Dude, me and my wife went through a tough time where I didn't know if we were going to make it." And he was like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, bro. Like, we've been through some hard times and had some times in our lives that, you know, really we're at a point where what are we going to do? Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to talk to?" It's not Ghostbusters. It's been God throughout our lives. So just sharing at different walks, different stages, different people.
David Pollack joining us here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. I think what you say there that resonates so much is vulnerability, right? And like being willing to be open with people for them to recognize, oh man, like, yeah, like she's had to deal with this or he's had to deal with that, because we are all guaranteed that we're going to have trouble in this world. That's just part of it. And our faith is what can get us through. Like Jesus never promises that we're not going to have trouble. He just promises that he's going to be there with us through the trouble and we can lean on him to help get us through. But being willing to have that vulnerability with people, like to me, that's the connection point.
I agree. I think, and here's the thing that I've noticed in my life, and Jade, you might have noticed the same thing. I'm also a lot more willing to help and plug in when I've been bit by it, when I've been stung by it, when I've experienced the pain of a breakup, when I've experienced the pain of losing a loved one. Like you go, "Oh crap. Like I get it." And then I get why they feel that way. And now in turn, like I can go stand beside people. I think one of my favorite things in life is when people are struggling, I was reading a book recently, actually, and they told a cool story. And this is how I told this to my sixth grade small group boys that I lead at church. I was like, "You know, what do you want your life to look like?" I was like, "This is what I want my life to look like." So it was a story about two kids playing near a pool at their grandmother's house. And there was 4 and 8, 4 and 6 years old. So they're younger kids. There's no more water in the pool. Like, that's not it. The water's gone. It's nothing but leaves and scary crap when you're 4 and 6, by the way, because you're like, oh, I don't want to get in there and know what's
right.
In there.
Like, and what so is that? Are there frogs?
Yes, snakes. Not one. I promise you. I don't like bugs. I'm good with that. But they were playing around the pool, and one of the kids, the older kid, fell in and, you know, started screaming, and the four-year-old couldn't pick him out. He couldn't pull him out of the pool. And there was a neighbor that heard him scream, and he jumped over the fence and he ran and he jumped in the pool and he lifted the kids out. That's what I want to do in my life. Like, I want to find as many people that I can come beside. And when they're in a hole, man, they're in a pit, they're struggling. Like, I want to send them songs, send them prayers, pray with them. Like, I want to help them get out of their spots, because I've been there and I've had people help me, and I want to return the favor. And I want to, so I think throughout my life, that's, I really want to find those opportunities more and more as I get older.
Yeah. And one of the ways in which you can do that is by being outward about your faith and the challenges and the struggles that you faced, whether it be on social media or on platforms like this, and you know, and just in your forward facing places. You mentioned that you've had people who have really poured into you and helped you through those times. Who are some of those people? Can you give me an example, David?
Oh yeah. I have a men's group that we meet every Wednesday, and Coach Rick is basically our leader in it. And, you know, he just got diagnosed with Parkinson's, and he's had a heart attack, and he's had some of the most amazingly bad things happen to him. And dude's unflappable, unshakable, just keeps a great sense, a great spirit, a great purpose, a great energy. Like, so he's been one that's been big in my life. You know, Pastor Jonathan Howells, who I actually do a podcast with Pastor Jay, it's called Family Goals. And so he's my preacher. He's been there with me. Dr. James Merritt is one of the guys that I seek and I text and I reach out to. When I went to Georgia, and I think one of the most important things for my faith, I got saved my senior year of high school. Never went to church one time in my life, got given a Bible for my signing party. And I opened it up and I was like, whoa, you know, where do I start? Started reading, and God really took a hold of my life. But when I got to Georgia, Kevin Hines, my team chaplain, just started memorizing verses with him in scripture. And see, he taught me what it looked like. But the most important thing that happened was that I plugged into godly friends and found people that were, you know, listen, if you're surrounded by people that don't care about their marriage and don't care about themselves, they don't care about you. Newsflash. Like, surround yourself. And I help on my kids with this all the time. And I ask my wife all the time, like, are we around the right people? Because show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And we've experienced it, by the way. The tough time I told you about with my wife was a direct correlation to who we were hanging out with. And that was our decision. We chose to make sports a priority over God. And when we got off course and got off, and a lot of times we're sitting in the water, right, in the ocean, and all of a sudden you just start, look, you look, next thing you know, you look up and you're 60 feet away from where your umbrella is.
It happens,
and that's
fast.
That's what happens. We drift away, and, you know, we started, you know, finding friends that were in it for the right reasons, that had our back, that were cheering for our marriage, that wanted our marriage to succeed. So, you know, and now that's Josh Clark and Russ Tanner and guys, you don't know their names, but Brent Rollins, but it's people that are doing life with me that they can say anything they want to me, not what I want to hear. I want them to be people that step into my life and be like, hey, bro, you know, are you going to live what you say? Because I can promise you, I do podcasts and, you know, I do Family Goals podcasts, and I've been on all these different things. And my wife will be like, are you living that? And I'm like, ouch, you know, shot to the bad spot. But I absolutely love having people in my life that don't just say yes, or don't just go with the flow. They're there to try to help me accomplish my goals, my dreams, and more importantly, keep me on the path of what I want to be. And that's facing towards God.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had those moments with my husband, by the way. So you're not alone, where he's like, hello. And I'm like, oh,
hey,
yeah,
Jay,
okay.
By the way, we're going to need him more as we get older. Cause what I'm starting to notice is you turn into your parents more and more.
Oh my gosh.
And here's the thing. You got to be able to call your wife on your crap, on their crap. And they got to be able to call you. Cause I'm like, baby doll, please don't let me turn into them. Like,
I know.
Help me help you, right? Like, help me, because otherwise I'm gonna be miserable to live with.
I feel like there's echoes of this conversation in my house around me sometimes. And by the way, like, your kids, like, look at you and you realize, oh my gosh, like, this is what I don't want to be. Cause they're real good at, like, pointing out, like, a mirror image of yourself. It happens all the time.
Yeah, every time my son makes a smart aleck comment, I can really, it's just like the Bible, right? The Bible and the law. What was the law created for? It was to be a mirror and reveal our sin. Like, your kids are a good revealer of what you prioritize and what, how you talk to them and what you think's important. Because my son will pop off at my daughter and I'm like, bro, shut your mouth. And I'm like thinking, where does he learn that? And then I go, oh yeah, this guy, because guys, like, I should have the shirt that says sarcastic comment loading, because I always have one in the chamber ready to fire. So no, the kids are definitely a good indicator of what, you know, this, they're going to learn, they're going to talk like you talk. They're going to, by the way, one of the coolest things ever is listening to my kids pray, because they pray like I pray. And I love when they pray for tangible, real things and not just, you know, the trees and oxygen and thank you for this day, like, and all that stuff, and start to hear their hearts. And I'm like, that's what I want to hear, you know? So you know, there's some good they hear, you hear from them too, just mostly bad.
Yeah. No, it's true. But the good is like so heartwarming. Like my 2-year-old, like we put on like worship music in my house all the time. And now she like walks around and like, she raises her hand and she's like, la, la, la. And it's just, it's awesome. Right. Like heck, it is so cool to like have those moments and you know, and they make the rest of them worth it. Cause you know, it's hard. Like the kids are challenging and that's just part of it, because they're a mirror image of you so often. And you're like, oh man, I gotta do better here. I gotta be better here.
No doubt.
So I guess like, where are you right now? Like what season are you in right now in terms of your faith, David?
Oh, I don't know. I think I would say that, you know, I'm in a stage now, you know, about to be 40. I guess that, you know, now that it's kind of maybe the stage where you do more pouring than you do getting poured into. You know, I've been a Christian and I've been on my walk since I was a senior in high school. So it's been a long, long time and a long journey now. So I think it's trying to help others, bring others along, hold others accountable. You know, for my kids and for my wife, it's really been, you know, this morning was Nicholas, is my son, who's an eighth grader. It was his first day of football and his first day working out with the team. And, you know, what I really want to show my kids is a reliance on God, a want to, like, we pray before we go to the beach and we prayed before we, this morning before we went to football. And I just like, God, like everything is a gift from you. And so I think at a point where we just want to, I want to give praise and pour into, find people to pour into, leave my family and our community. Cause we got a great community here with all these North Oconee kids now that I'm coaching. So I got an extended family with them now too, trying to pour into them and lean into them. But, you know, listen, still learning in the journey and still growing, but still learning how to be a parent, learning how to be a role model. And, but the most important thing I think for all parents and all of us along the journey, you talk about your kids, Jade, what you have to do is what, and which is most important, is we have to love our spouses and put our spouses first. Our spouses come before our children. Our children come after them. Like we have to show them. And I tick my daughter off all the time. I'm like, baby, I love you. She's like, am I your favorite? And I was like, yep. Next to your mother.
Yes.
mommy's one. She's like, nah, she growls at me. But I think we got to show our kids that. We got to show them who one is. We got to show them how to love. We got to show them how to pray, how to take excitement in every single day, how to have joy, how to lead people in the community. And so I think, you know, in the stage of still learning and growing and teaching my kids and trying to be a better role model and example.
Yeah. And modeling good marriage, right? Like that's so important, because you want that for your son, you want that for your daughter someday. And for them to have that and have that godly marriage and find the right person to share that with, they need to know what it looks like. Right. Like, and the only way they see that is by what's right in front of them every day. They're not going to see it in anybody else's house. They're going to see it in the house that they grow up in.
Yep.
So it's hugely
They're going to see how to do it or how not to do it. You know, we're going to show them that. And my son asked me on the way to our foundation golf tournament the other day, he's like, do you and mommy ever fight? And I said, buddy, there was a time when we did, because I couldn't keep my mouth shut and I wanted to make comments. And I said, I've just learned not to make comments over time and, you know, just to love and say sorry. And so I was like, so no, we don't fight. But I also was like, buddy, that's not normal. I was like, people argue and that's okay. I said, and when you get a girlfriend later on in life, whenever that is, if he ever gets one. So socially awkward. I don't think he'll ever get one. But I was like, when you get a girlfriend, you know, later on in life, like, it's okay to have disagreements and arguments. But to me and your mommy, it's not okay to scream and yell. Like, it's not okay to curse. You know, like, we're not gonna, you know, I think I said there was a time when we had more, you know, butting of heads, and we would have yelled at each other. I said, but, you know, now we don't. And but we do make mistakes, and we do say things to each other that we shouldn't say.
Right. And we know how to forgive each other. Right. I mean, that's a huge part of it too. Cause
if you're going to freely accept God's grace, you have to extend grace. That's not negotiable. I mean, my daughter, actually, I made a comment. She was just watching Spirit in the kitchen. She's 12 years old, by the way. And we're still watching. She's 12. And we're still watching Spirit, which blows my mind. It just makes me laugh. She was watching Spirit, and I was like, oh, and again, sarcastic comment. I go, oh, that's Leah. Cause the girl made a smart, like, she like rolled her eyes, and I was like, that's my girl. And she was like, Daddy, you didn't have to say that. And I walked over from the kitchen on the couch, and I laid her on her lap. She's like, no, you don't get to come over here. And I was like, I shouldn't have made that comment. She's like, no. I was like, wait a minute, you're not going to extend grace. And she was like, whatever. But I mean, if we know we're works in progress, and we're continuing to screw up, and we're going to continue to go to God and go, God, forgive me, and accept that grace freely, then we're going to have to definitely, if somebody's wronged you, if somebody's done something to you, you better be willing to forgive them.
Yep. 100%. It's like when my son was 5 at the dinner table, and he was like, but I tried the spinach. Like, I ate 2 bites, Mom. I'm giving you grace. I don't like it. And I tried it.
Using your words on you. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, man.
100%. 100%. David Pollack here with us on the Sports Spectrum podcast. All right. Let's talk a little football here. The college season is coming up. What is it like for you to gear up for another season with the Game Day crew, David?
It's cool. I mean, it's crazy because I think I'm on year 10 or 11. And again, didn't deserve it. Don't deserve to be on the group. Just very right place, right time. God put me in a cool situation where I could jump on the crew when they extended it to ESPNU, and I was working with ESPNU, and then found a way to become part of the team. But it's fun. It's cool. It's always fun to gear up. I think my wife's always the most excited because I get out of the house a little bit, and she can kick me out. And I think it's good because, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, for sure. I'm gone a lot more, and she loves it when I come home and I'm not in the way and I'm not making a mess, because I'm pretty messy sometimes. But no, I definitely gearing up, you know, watching college football, studying the guys, studying the teams, and, you know, getting ready for travel. For me is very manageable. Unlike the past, it used to be really, really difficult. But now that I've done it for a bunch of years, it's become a lot easier.
What's your favorite part about it?
I think my favorite part is the different campuses, the different fan bases, the different experiences. I mean, yes, every show is the same, quote unquote, you know, open and same guys, but it always feels so different depending on where you are and who's playing. And, you know, whether it's in Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, and it's 6 a.m., you know, and the show's really, it's at 9 a.m. Eastern. So I think
you're sitting out there in the dark.
Oh, yeah. I think the most fun part is you just never know what show you're going to do. You know, you got to kind of roll with it. And the moments that happen that are, you know, off the cuff and just kind of crazy that you just embrace, I think that's the most fun.
Is there a particular moment that you remember more than any other from your, you know, 10 years being out there? Is there one that like pops to mind?
Well, the small schools like James Madison and North Dakota State, like, when you go to those places, it's just different. I mean, the people thank you. Like down the street, they're just like, thank you so much for coming. And, you know, there's a lot of schools you go to and they're like, yeah, you should be here. You know, yeah, I mean, and that's okay. Yeah.
It's like a different sense of entitlement at some of the other big schools where you're at every year.
Yeah. And it's really cool because there's a high appreciation level. And they're like, I didn't think this was possible. So I think those sites, when we can find those little niches. I mean, New York City was amazing and different and crazy. You know, I mean, we do a good job of finding, you know, ways to make our show show up in different spots. The one thing I'd love to see it continue to do is I'd love for us to hit every school, because we're close to getting every Power 5 school. I think we're 5 short. So that's a pretty cool number. I'd love to see us hit all those.
Yeah, that would be a pretty neat like countdown with like the final ones, right? To check them all off the list. That'd be pretty cool. As you gear up for the season, are there particular guys that you would recommend people keep their eye out for, or particular players that you're excited to watch this year, or teams, anything of that nature?
Well, unfortunately, with college football, the way it is, it's a lot of the same. The best team is going to be Alabama. They're going to be really good. They got the best offensive player, the best defensive player in the country. Get used to that. You'll see a lot of Alabama. You'll see a lot of Rolling Tide this year. To me, the next case is who's the next group. Is Ohio State going to take a leap and finally get back to that level? Does Georgia continue to maintain that level? Because they're going to be right there in the mix. Does Clemson now take a step forward? Last year was the first time we've really seen them take a step back. And, you know, the transfer portal was a big part of that. It lost 25 guys. The transfer portal didn't take any. So, you know, the NIL, for gosh sakes, like Jimbo versus Nick, for goodness sakes, like WWE Raw. Like, I think so there's a lot of things that are going to be fun to pay attention to, look forward to. It'll be the same, you know, group that we're talking about as the top teams in the country. But it's always fun to watch the journey and see some of those teams that come out of nowhere every year. Hopefully Nebraska is a team that, you know, starts to get back and starts to climb back in this with Scott Frost remaining there, and like maybe do a Jim Harbaugh from the year before.
Sure. There's always some great story or several of them along the way that you kind of latch onto and have fun cheering for. And you always have to appreciate the underdog. That's at least my perspective, because it makes it fun, right? It makes it different. And like you said, like when you're on the campus of like JMU, all of a sudden, like, it's just a totally different feel. It's a different show. And I think all of that adds to the excitement.
I think parity will continue to be a more prevalent in college football because of the transfer portal. And I say that, okay, the transfer portal, you look at Alabama, for example, like we talked about, Ricks from LSU, one of the top corners in the country, Barry Gibbs from Tech, top running back in the country, like Louisville, they're getting all these guys, they get all these transfers and they get a bunch of them. But the difference is, you look at a team like Arkansas last year, you know, a team that would have been completely rebuilding their defensive line, they go in the transfer portal and grab junior college guys, fifth year guys. So again, they're not five-star guys, but at least they're fourth and fifth year guys now that are physically developed. So they might not go beat Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State. They might not be in that realm, but I do think you continue to have more parity. And the NIL, I mean, the NIL has changed football too. And, the way I say NIL is now it's legal. That's the way I choose to say it, because it's obviously stuff that's been happening in college football for a long time. But, you know, I think college football is in an interesting spot because you do need somebody somehow to manage the transfer portal, put stipulations on it, manage NIL, put stipulations on it, because, you know, the wild, wild west of it all. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be a coach. I mean, I'd be miserable in this era.
Yeah. Yeah. You like coaching the level you're at right now, right? Like, stick with that.
High school ball is great. I mean, I've coached youth league football for the last 7 years, you know, growing up with my son's teams, and I finally got with the high school team now. And no, it's a totally different animal too. It's a heck of a lot of fun, but yeah, not many kids going in the transfer portal.
Yeah, no, little bit of a different game, and certainly one that you can embrace at that level. Hey, last but not least, what's going to be the surprise from the game day crew for the 40th that you celebrated earlier this year?
I don't think we'll have any. I think we'll be just golden. I think we're probably way past it. By the way, I'm the baby on the set, for God's
sake. That's
what
I mean.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Kirk, Dez, Reese, I mean, your coach, your average age of those guys are probably like 65. I mean, probably pretty close.
That's what I wanted to know. Like, are they gonna have like a pacifier for you? Like, what's it gonna be?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do, but I'm sure it'll be something fun with Coach Corso. We did commercials actually this summer, and just an awesome to be around him, and just a lesson in humility every year. He's just so kind and gracious and fun, but it's like your own little family. You know, you go on the road with them and you get used to them and they get used to you, and sometimes they don't like you, sometimes you don't always get along great, but in the end it's always a high level of respect, and so it's always a lot of fun.
Well, David, we appreciate your hanging out with us here on Sports Spectrum for a little bit. And we love the stories of faith and how you're continuing to share that. And I love how you said that became the most important part of your life when you were saved. And it hasn't changed since then. And it's tremendous to hear that and know that you feel that way and want to demonstrate that, you know, every step of your own walk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ed. You have a good one.
You too.
And many thanks to David Pollack from ESPN for being here today on Sports Spectrum, college football analyst, of course, College Game Day, and of course, the college football season starting in just a few days. It is wonderful to think about being able to watch some college football again, and that means the fall is upon us, and it's the best time of year, in my opinion, for sports, is certainly the football season and the anticipation of another college football year. Appreciate David Pollack for being here, and really didn't talk a lot college football there. I mean, I like that we talk a little bit of college football at the end, but I'm more interested in the conversation that David and Jade had, you know, for that first 15, 20 minutes about Jesus, about faith, about being a godly dad and being a godly husband, that men's group that he meets with Coach Mark Richt every week. That's fantastic stuff. You don't get that too many other places. So I really appreciate David Pollack for being as open as he was about his faith. Certainly appreciate my colleague Jade McCarthy, my former ESPN colleague, now turned Sports Spectrum colleague. If you don't know, Jade is hosting a podcast on the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. It's called Transformed. Many wonderful conversations have already taken place on that podcast. So make sure you go subscribe and listen to Jade on her new show, and we appreciate Jade being a part of this show as well. And again, thanks to David Pollack for being here on Sports Spectrum. We do not make any bones about the fact that we are the intersection of sports and faith in Jesus, and we hope that you enjoy the conversations that take place here. If you do, if you enjoy Sports Spectrum, if you enjoy this conversation with David Pollack, could you do us a favor and click that subscribe or that follow button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on. That way you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast, dropping 3 new episodes every single week. Make sure to subscribe and follow right now to not miss any episodes of the Sports Spectrum podcast. And then just tell someone about Sports Spectrum. That would be amazing, sharing what we're doing here at this ministry with others, encouraging them to use sports as a vehicle to share the gospel. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.